This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air. This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air. This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Well, the big P, Parent Empowerment Experience, is a series of three big talks designed to empower parents and caregivers with the skills and tools to navigate the crunchy stuff with their kids and have some real, frank and courageous conversations with them about the big issues they're facing. The first talk in the series is coming up on Sunday, June 11th. Emma Wright presenting a session on raising body confident kids. Emma Wright joins us on the line now. Kia ora, good to have you with us, Emma.
Kia ora, good morning. Fabulous to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
Emma, this series is set up to talk about the big issues. Body confidence, obviously identified as one. What are we seeing that manifests this as being a big issue right now?
Yeah, in the big scheme of things, we're seeing a lot of pressure on eating disorder services. There's been a steep increase over COVID in kids experiencing body issues. At the sharp end of that is full-blown eating disorders, but it's not like you're totally fine and then you've got an eating disorder. There's a big grey area in the middle where there's a lot of body shame, there's kids not wanting to socialise, there's kids who are just feeling bad about how they look, there's a lot of concerning behaviour that parents see of kids speaking to each other on social media that is just hard to talk to our kids about. It's hard to see, and so that's on one level. And then we see concerning behaviours in our kids about how they're eating. We might notice that their eating behaviours have changed, or they're sneaking food, or we're feeling anxious about what kinds of foods they're eating, and lots of parents are left not quite sure how to manage that. It's a little bit scary. It's and most of the information we get is just doesn't help. Like, we're advised to make our kids eat vegetables and to tell them they're gorgeous, and those things are really hopeless in this area.
All right, so there's a lot to unpack there, and
a lot to talk about
in the session that's coming up. We should say, of course, Emma, you come at this from your own experience, right? Tell us about that.
Yeah, I do. Thank you. I am an eating disorder survivor myself. I come from it as a parent who, when I had my kids, started doing all the things parents are advised to do in order to help their kids eat a healthy diet and tell them they're gorgeous, and I started to see red flags in my own kids. And if there was one thing I wanted to do as a parent, is I really didn't want them to have the experience of their body that I had. It had dominated my life in such a negative way that I was really committed to them having something, you know, growing up without that. And when I saw those red flags, it really made me stop and have a look and see if we actually know if there's information out there that does work, that we can have conversations with our kids that leave them empowered rather than feeling even worse. That's where I'm coming from this conversation.
So one really interesting aspect of that is the generational difference and the kind of things that feed into your experience of an eating disorder might not be the same as those that are feeding into young people of today. I mean, one imagines, and I'm sure you unpack all of this too, one imagines that, you know, the current state of inaccessibility of social media and immediate commentary and criticism is one of the things that has an impact on that. But in your generation, that might not have been the way it was manifested. So even someone with your own lived experience has to kind of look at the world now, I suppose, and go, in what ways are my kids facing different pressures than I faced?
100%, Jeff. You couldn't have picked a more pertinent topic to talk about. That's right. Our kids have social media. We're really the first generation of parents who are navigating our teenagers through this, and we're all doing it slightly blind. We don't have any long-term data on it, but there's a lot of really powerful, really cool things we can do to help our kids use social media in a positive way. Social media can be incredibly positive for our kids, and we need to really keep that forefront in our minds, otherwise we lose their trust and their respect. And we also need to teach them the dangers of it and how to be discerning and how to be a leader in that space. And they can't teach themselves that. Well, very few kids can teach themselves that. We really need to be having those conversations with them. So there's two things at play here. There's actually giving them the tools to navigate that well. It's like, I liken it to, we've gone from horse and cart, and we're now putting our kids in cars, and we can't just throw them the keys and go, there you go, off you go. We have to acknowledge that the car is amazing. It's got incredible upsides for our kids, but they need a lot of training. They need a lot of taking it slowly until they've got a license to go. And we can do that with social media. We can really give them that training, give them those tools, and we can set them off in a way that's far less dangerous than just letting them figure it out for themselves.
So, Emma, where have you gone to identify the strategies that might work here? Where were your inspirations?
Yeah, so what I did is, when I first realised what I was doing didn't work, I had a kind of a moment of, well, what do I do? Like, I'm doing all the things that I've been taught. And I took a moment to go, okay, well, so what I did is I had done a master's degree in the 90s, and what I did know how to do is go to a body of literature and look and understand the methodologies of the studies I was looking at to see if they told us information that was useful or whether they just kind of sounded sciencey but weren't really helpful. So I spent a lot of time going down, literature searches in the area of body confidence, weight and health science, eating disorder recovery. And what I found was incredibly powerful. I started putting what I learned into practice. I experienced a fundamental shift in my own recovery, which was tremendous. We don't have time to go into that, I don't think, this morning. But other than to say, wow, as an eating disorder survivor, I didn't even know this academic body of work existed. It's getting much bigger, it's getting a lot more voice, but things take a long time to change, and that change is happening, and we're kind of at the forefront of that. And then I started to notice real significant shifts inside my family. I learned how to talk to my kids about their bodies. I learned how to talk to them about food. I learned how to have really hard conversations so that they would actually engage rather than just feeling like they're being lectured to by their mum. And so it was really from that academic base, and I started making connections with experts in this area, and I've kind of gone from there.
And so when it comes to a session like the one that's coming up on Sunday, June 11th, there's a couple of hours there to bring people together to talk about raising body confident kids.
Yep.
What approach do you take to a session like that? What do you hope to cover? What do you hope to leave people with?
So in the session, what people walk away with is what I call the blueprint to building a fence at the top of the body confidence cliff. So we go through, I do some storytelling, we go through some research, and I leave parents with tools to start building that fence in their home, because we need more than just we need more than just understanding the information. We need to know how to put that into practice. And so that's what the talk is about. It's about opening people up to a new world, giving them the blueprint, as I say, to building that fence, and then sending them off with really practical tools that they can start using immediately. in their kids' lives.
And I imagine there'll be a range of experiences there. There'll be parents, perhaps new parents. There'll be parents who have yet to embark on having that conversation with their kids. There'll be others who are dealing with something. They're in the middle of a crisis. Will this session be able to offer something to each of those kind of groups?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Absolutely. It's absolutely designed for parents or caregivers of toddlers to teens. So really, it doesn't matter what age your child is, you will come away with either a really good foundation to start from or changes you can start making with your teens immediately. And whether you're just curious to know how do I start well and start creating an environment immediately, we've got no issues, but I just want to know about this. Right through to my child is in eating disorder services and we're in a crisis. I have parents from that whole spectrum come to my talks, and there is information and tools relevant to everyone across the spectrum, and I'm there afterwards as well to talk to people individually with their own individual questions. And it was great. I said it was a great question because the questions I get afterwards are from people right across that whole spectrum. People have got three-year-olds and people who have got teenagers in eating disorder services. So very good question.
Outside of this presentation on the 11th of June, of course, you work in this field. You offer your services and assistance around this. Tell us a little bit about that.
So really, the work I do is I'm in the middle of writing a book that is coming out early next year, and I have resources that I create on my website for people. I work in a kind of coaching capacity on one-on-one, really to help people find the resources they need. I'm sort of like a messenger, if you like. I'm someone who has put the hours into understanding this information, and I'm very aware that not enough people have it, and I'm about sharing that knowledge and getting it out into the hands of people who it can make a real difference to.
So we'll give our listeners details of the June 11 session in a moment, but in terms of that work, where can people find you online?
So they can find me online at emmawright.co.nz.
All right. So this talk on Sunday, June 11, 4 o'clock till around 6 o'clock, part of the three big talks in the series, the Big PEE. And we spoke with Hilary Moyer, who's coordinating these events this year again a few weeks ago, about this Parent Empowerment Experience, the first of these talks by Emma Wright, Sunday, June 11. And you can get your tickets from trybooking.co.nz. You can find out more by hopping online and looking for the Big PEE as well on Facebook and elsewhere. Emma, you'll be conscious that you're one of three presenters this year again.
Yes, indeed.
I guess have an interest in the other talks that have been given as well. It's an interesting concept, isn't it, bringing these big discussions together in one place across a series of public presentations. How do you feel about being part of that?
Oh, I feel incredibly honoured to be invited back. I think Harriet has developed a great lineup, and I think she's really hit the nail on the head in terms of providing parents some really a great opportunity to get some new tools in their parenting tool belt and to just really help the parent community of Dunedin.
Well, let's check it out. Emma, we've only scratched the surface on the big issues that you're talking about, but I'm sure there'll be parents out there, prospective parents out there and others too who might well be interested in this session, educators and so forth, Raising Body Confident Kids. The date's Sunday, June 11th. The venue, we should say, is Events on Stafford. You might know it already. It's the place that's on the ground floor level of the Petri Dish area there on the lower Stafford Street. It's a really good place for these talks. So hop online, get your tickets now, and get along to hear Emma. Emma, thanks so much for taking some time to join us here on ORFM.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me. It's been delightful to talk to you.